Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Honest Property Investment Podcast. My name is Natasha Collins. I'm the host of this podcast. I'm also the CEO and founder of NC Real Estate, which is my firm of surveyors, which helps you to build commercial and mixed use property portfolios. If you want to find out any more about that, head on over to ncrealestate.co.uk. All right. This week, we're going to have a go at predicting the future. I've invited Steve Wallace from my team onto the podcast. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Natasha. How's it going?
All right, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. Yeah, looking forward to getting my crystal ball working.
Well, yeah, that's what happens, right? When we get qualified, someone just sends you this lumpy old crystal ball in the post and all of a sudden you know what's going to happen for the foreseeable.
Always. Yeah, definitely. Super easy predicting.
Really easy predicting. But I think it's quite fun to do at this time of year. I mean, last year, my most listened to podcast was that weekend after Liz Truss had, what, she put out the worst budget ever.
It wasn't very well thought through. I mean, there's some decent ideas in there, but she didn't have many stats to back it up.
Yeah. What was it called? It was called "Yes, the Economy is in Turmoil. Here's what we're going to do about it." That was the episode from actually last September, which I then made some predictions based upon what I thought was going to happen at the time and how I thought 2023 was going to go. And based upon that, let's have a think about what 2024 is going to be like. But to start off with, I said in the start of 2023, the base rate will be 6%. I wasn't quite there.
Yeah, I know. I went and checked this earlier. So you said 6%. It was 3.5% on the 13th of January, but obviously 5.25% by August, and it stayed at that level. So not far off, just a little bit of a further time horizon.
Not far off, but I said at the time, buyers should have fixed in their mortgage rates if you were being offered them at the time, because the base rate was 2.25%. That was good.
100%. Yeah. I know a handful of people did that. I think we know a few clever members, don't we, who did it within the members club.
Yep. I also predicted people won't be able to pay for council tax, utilities, food. I know the government stepped in on utilities in terms of prices, and also it turned out that we didn't need to rely on Russia so much for all of our utility supplies, and so they managed to bring the price of electricity back down as far as...
Yeah, but people borrowing to pay for day-to-day essentials and the usage of food banks has rocketed in 2023. Yep. So yeah, you're pretty right there.
Businesses will constrict as there isn't much money around for consumers to spend with.
Yeah, it's more the zombie companies and ones coming off the cheap money from COVID days and then not being able to refinance because it's too expensive. So totally right again.
Yeah, you do need to be in profit to be able to actually survive this kind of stuff right now. Having debt is too expensive. Commercial property prices are coming down. Kind of. I think the market stalled and then you were able to negotiate a huge amount of discount. So whilst the asking prices weren't coming down, the prices that we were able to achieve when we've been negotiating are significantly lower than asking prices, which shows that outwardly, no one wants to admit that the market has come down in terms of commercial property prices. But inwardly, once you get into the nitty gritty of it, you can get yourself some quite good discounts. And I said multi-let property should be the way forward. I stick by that.
Yeah, again, we know members are doing very well. Thinking outside the box, trying new strategies, figuring out ways to make money inside and outside of their SaaS. Smart people tend to do well, right, in any market.
Mm-hmm. So based upon what happened this year, how do we think the market's going to fare next year? And I'm putting a caveat on this. We obviously don't know. Steve and I are having a conversation about where we think the market's going to go. We'll look back on it in 12 months' time and see if we were actually right on this. Don't make any investment decisions based upon our predictions. Only make investment decisions based upon what you know is fact today.
Yeah, discussion purposes only. We do not have crystal balls. We do not have a time machine. We just, well, we pay attention, we're observant, we read a lot, and we're going to bring all that together, I suppose.
Okay, so first things first, do you think 2024 in general will be better or worse than 2023?
Hard to know. So I thought by this time in 2023, a lot of the repercussions and consequences would have played out. So people coming off their 2-year fixed terms on their main residence is a big driver, I think, of a lot of stuff in the economy. Seems like not everyone's come off those yet, so they're not having to go and, find and negotiate a new rate, which might be 50, 60, 70% higher, pounds wise than what they were on before. So I think, yeah, that's still got to play out. And I think it's there's an election, right? Back end of next year. It's got to be by January 25. I don't reckon they'll be in a rush to do it. So some stuff might need to wait until there's the one thing I will predict is there'll be a change. So we might have to wait until the back end of the year for a lot of that stuff to play out. I mean, the fact the base rate stayed at 5.25 since August, I can't see it really differing much between 4 and 6, let's be honest, right, for next year. Something would have had to have gone really badly wrong for it to be outside of that. And I'm not going to speculate on the things that might, because as we know from this year and back end of 2022, you never know when something really bad's going to happen the following day.
Right. I agree with that. I think we're in a bit more of a time of stability though. This year, with the base rate increasing like crazy, I mean, everybody ex acting surprised, like they didn't think it was going to happen. The minute we saw the fallout from that budget, it was obviously going to have to happen. You know, there was.
People also, oh, sorry to butt in, Natasha, but people also forget to zoom out, right? So I think I spoke about this on one of our calls with the members, but again, as I was going through that base rate information, so it was 5.13% in 1994, 5.25 in 99, 5.25 in 07, and then obviously we went into free monies bill. But it was actually double digit for most of the 70s, 80s, and early 90s, the base rate, right? So we just returned to normality with the base rate. And everyone had just got too used to the 0% as opposed to it being the norm.
Yep. And because it's almost been like a whole generation coming of age during that time who just genuinely don't know about the fact that there's fluctuations. I wouldn't have known about it if I hadn't been in the property industry and I like researching on economics. You wouldn't know as a general person, you're not taught about the fact that the base rate goes up and down like that. So you're not going to expect it. So when it happens, you're like, oh my gosh. But the other thing that floors me is that banks also acted like they didn't expect it because they were still lending out. So they're lending out to people who, fine, are able to afford at the 0.25, 0.1% base rate or 1%, 0.25 to 1% base rate. They're not able to afford it at 5%. But it was never stress test against that for regular residential mortgages. It was for buy-to-let mortgages, which is why the majority of them aren't underwater. But for regular residential, not being stress tested.
Yeah, and what happens when they rise too fast, too far, too fast? You get like a Silicon Valley Bank situation, right? So a lot of that stuff hasn't played out properly yet. There's a lot of those banks that are underwater, and are going to have to refinance certain things at certain points. We don't know exactly when. Probably some smart people do. They've probably got charts checking it, but you just never know when the government, again, that whole, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So they might just come out with some brand new stimulus program tomorrow. If they're going to pay people not to work and all these other things, you never know what they'll come out with to try to save the country. You need us, you need us. Kelsey-Pree is leading up to a general election.
And or they just know that they're not going to get voted in next year. Everything's going to go bang. So what they got to lose? And that terrifies me even more. When people don't have anything to lose, that makes them more dangerous than when they've got something to lose.
Yeah, definitely. And that's why, yeah, keep crystal balls, keep crystal balls out of it. These are just things we observe, things that we read about. I think, yeah, that my sort of prediction of base rate will stay between 4 and 6% is based on nothing really changing that much. But history or recent history has told us things change really quickly.
Yeah, we were not expecting the Middle East to break out into war, which could, the more and more people that get sucked into that. So if you've got the Ukraine and Russia into war at war, the more people in the Middle East that then start to get sucked into war, that's money being diverted elsewhere. That's conflict that means that trade can't happen, agreements can't happen, which just impacts the whole of the global economy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I think, but there's a couple. I mean, there's a couple of things that I think, we could sort of move on. So that's the base rate.
Yeah.
What's your view on inflation, which is obviously linked?
I just wanted to jump in here quickly and tell you about our partners and sponsors, Property Data, who we use when valuing residential properties within mixed-use property portfolios. They give us the yields that we should use in order to capitalize on the rental income. They give us the rental income that we should expect to get from the residential property, and they also give us an estimated value of that residential property. So it is vital in using this within our commercial property and mixed use deal analysis. I have a special offer for you. If you click our link below and you use the code NC50, you get 50% off of your first month after the free trial ends. So, what are you waiting for? Click the link below, give it a try, pop it into your deal analysis. It's really going to help you when you're analyzing those mixed use properties. So, I have always been one of these people who thinks that they don't report inflation correctly. And the reason being is that I don't think RPI and CPI do anything particularly relevant. But if you go out and you have a look at how much money you are spending on a monthly basis on your, I don't know, the basics, right? Even though they've put the utilities down. All right. I'm still personally, for my properties in the UK where I do pay electric bills, whilst the cost of electricity has gone down, they've not reduced my direct debits or my standing orders. So I'm still paying at that level. And why? Because they're saying to me that, oh, you didn't pay enough when the electricity prices were higher. Okay. So am I in debt to my electric company? Probably. So that hasn't changed. So I've not seen any knock-on of impact from that. Just the general rule of thumb of things getting very expensive hasn't changed. You're always spending more money. Now, okay, granted, I'm in America most of the time. I don't think the Americans know what's coming. It is unaffordable to go shopping here. I mean, we're lucky we can afford it, but I look at, we keep our receipts between what we were spending, even when we were in New York, versus what we're spending now. Texas has a lot more supplies and local goods and things than New York. So New York was far more expensive. But even so, our shopping used to be on a weekly basis $100, $120, and now we could easily spend anywhere between $170 and $200, and that's taking out any additional nappies, food for Harry.
Yeah, similar over here. Yeah, so our weekly shop has gone bananas basically for our family of four. Yeah, and I'm with you on the CPI RPI. The basket is manipulatable, probably a made up word there, but they can take stuff out, put things in for how they fancy. Came across something interesting today. So apparently there's a website, well, I did check it earlier, called Trueflation, and it tells you what actual inflation is. Looks like it's behind a bit of a paywall to get a lot of historical data, but you can look at the last 12 months, which was pretty eye-opening. And seem to link up with what I've seen, in our household and what you've just said there.
I'm also, here's the other thing that's interesting. I'm starting to see movements in what the big supermarkets are doing, which also indicates that they're not making as much money. So the cost of goods has gone up, whereas they're not really putting the cost of goods up as much. And if you've been watching the auction market recently, you will have seen that Farm Foods has recently done a huge amount of sale and leasebacks. My speculation is speculation, people not, I don't know this for facts, I don't know anybody inside Farm Foods, but they're getting ready to sell. Probably because they're not really making that much profit. So what they've done to boost their profit margins is get rid of all their real estate. I
Yeah,
mean,
that's it, right?
and then you look at the likes of Co-op. Co-op said they would never sell off any of their real estate portfolio, or they're disposing of all of their petrol stations. It started. And again, because they're not making the money that they used to make. You know, they can't put as high profits on things. So if that's not an indicator of inflation still not being where it was, I don't know what is.
Yeah, the other classic with inflation is that so if RPI was 14.2% apparently in October 2022, it's now 6.1%, I think the latest information. But that just means prices are going up less fast, right? They're
Yeah.
not coming down, they're just going up less fast, which people always forget.
Yeah. So you're still paying an extra 6% on last year.
When their target is it still this stupid 2 to 3% target? That they have. I don't know.
I don't watch anymore because I just don't think they know how to count. I don't
Yeah,
know.
or they just genuinely don't know what to do.
Right. Well, what can
Well,
you do when it starts to spiral out of control? Okay, well, we put base rates up, but that doesn't affect everybody.
no, and Andrew Bailey just tells people not to ask for pay rises, doesn't he? Don't ask for pay rises, it's inflationary, I think was one of his classics.
What?
Yes, interesting.
Wow. Wow.
Should
Yeah.
that lead us on to, speaking of FCA related, should we talk a little bit about the changes that are coming to the FCA high net worth and sophisticated investor rules coming out in January, apparently?
Yeah, that's all you. You go for it.
Okay, well. Yeah, people may or may not have, come across this in the news, but anyone who accesses private investor finance for their property deals will have come across the high net worth and sophisticated investor self-certification documents. I'm sure of it because everyone's doing everything super compliantly. But there is a change, or there are changes coming, and they've actually spotted the things that people have tended to use as kind of loopholes. So under sophisticated investor rules, somebody could say, yeah, I'm sophisticated if they've made more than one investment in an unlisted company. So that could actually be as simple as chucking 20 quid onto two investments on Cedars, or you could argue crypto maybe is unlisted. So that's always been a bit of an easy one for people to say, yes, I'm sophisticated, and then they, can get into any type of deal where they could lose 100% of their capital. So the FCA has removed that. And then on the high net worth statement, where it used to be £100,000, if you earn £100,000, you qualified as a high net worth individual. They've whacked 70%, 70 on that. It's now 170 grand. And if you don't earn that a year, then you could qualify by having enough in assets outside of your main residence and pension. That was 250,000. They've whacked 70% on that as well. It's now going to be 420, 430,000. Can't quite do the maths.
That
So
only
that is.
property. So, like, if you have a property, say, of £100,000 and 75% of that is mortgaged, is it just the 25%?
Yeah, it's just your equity essentially. So
That's
it's your, you know, what essentially tying back to what I'd call your net worth, really. Net worth in largely liquid assets is the, or liquid or, you know, liquefiable, I'd say. Things that can be priced, you know, probably that's what I should have said. So you need to be able to justify, I think, as well, potentially. And then yeah, you need to self-certify. So a couple of things that are interesting off the back of this is that syndicates, if you're part of an angel investment network for 6 months or more, that actually still counts. Which I think a lot of people are going to spot that one, because people could get, you know, get into an angel investment syndicate, and be a member. Yeah, I'm not even sure if you have to say that you've deployed funds within that. You just need to be a part of one. But I think that this is a bit of something we've spoken about a lot in the members club this year, where syndicates, I think, are going to be on the up next year. That's probably one of my predictions, is people are going to realize that coming together with others is a way to achieve their objectives. You can get into probably better deals, less crowded investment areas, and I think that will be a real growth area. And it's almost just a bit sort of strange that it does tie back to the FCA stuff, but yeah, I think people will just start to connect some dots, and yeah, and we'll see a rise of syndicates of investors.
Well, that's good as well, because then you can get access to the higher deals, which I've said repeatedly on this podcast is ultimately where you get the biggest bargains.
Less competition, right? Good old supply and demand.
Less competition. You know, there's still a lot of people out there with a couple of hundred thousand pounds floating around. And I know for some people, they might be like, oh, it's true. You know, that's quite a nice amount to have in your pension. You know, if you've worked hard for the last 40, 50 years and you've got that in your pet, that's going to be something you have in your pension, right?
Yeah, and there'll be, you know, good interesting deals to get into, I think. Yeah, if a few people are coming together, yeah, that's I think that's a, again, no investment, no financial advice here. You know, this is not personal financial advice, but I think it's just an interesting area to be looking into and be aware of in 2024.
Yeah, I agree with that. Completely agree with that. I think what I do think is that commercial property prices will start going up again mid 2024. The reason being is that interest rates on commercial lending are coming down slightly. So the cheaper it is to refinance. I mean, I'm talking about commercial rates being at somewhere between 6.8 to 7.5%. I'm not talking about them being really cheap. But they never were really cheap. You know, even when we were at the height of the commercial property market, rates were still somewhere around 6.5 to 7.5%. So, you know, if we're coming back down from the 9, 10% to there, people are going to be able to afford to buy more, which means that commercial property prices are going to go back up as people get more interested in what's going on. So I'm, again, I don't know. Come on, I can't see into the future, but I just have a feeling that if people find that money is cheaper and easier to get hold of, they're going to spend more.
Yeah, and I think so. It feels a bit, you know, like there's an obvious thing on the resi market as well, right? Which is that the prices could drop off a bit, but rents will continue to rise, and that again is just simple supply and demand, right? People who can't afford to refinance their mortgage are going to try and sell. You know, if we're talking main residences and maybe also on the landlords, and then there's more people chasing fewer properties. So, it from a rental point of view. So I think that type of scenario just seems quite intuitive. I think seems likely that that would happen. And again, the only thing that would change that is that the base rate plummets, which may or may not happen. But yeah, this 4 to 6% range just seems quite likely.
Yeah. And then if you forecast everything off of 6.5%, always tie in a little bit of percentage for risk, but then you can see if your
Yeah.
portfolio works over the time. The other thing that I think the government are going to get really hot on next year is some sort of WIN, sustainability thing in commercial property. They completely dropped it now in residential properties. So there's no standard there. But with commercial property, there is a lot of information coming out, and I've not seen any stats about this. So excuse the conspiracy theorist in me. I haven't seen any stats that are saying, like, where it actually shows how much money, how much extra rent, for example, a tenant would pay to go into a sustainable building. If you're listening and you have that information, or you've even got an example of it, please email me, Natasha, at ncrealestate.co.uk, because I am very interested in it. But today I haven't seen it. So I read all these articles about the fact that if you have a really sustainable building, you're going to be able to get more rents, tenants are going to stay longer. I'm wondering if that stems from the fact that the government are really now going to put a lot of emphasis on landlords getting their EPC ratings up to a C or a B. If that is the case, what I would love to see is one standard for EPC assessors. Because EPC assessors are completely different. Someone could come out and give you a D, someone could come out and give you a B, and you've not even changed your building around. So I'm just really intrigued about how that's going to play out and how much money we're going to be coerced into spending on sustainability, but what's the actual money that we'll be making after that? Again, I don't have any information on that, but I just keep reading about it and reading about it and reading about it. So if there are any stats out there that people could point me in the right direction on, I would love to see it because I'm interested and I'm listening. But how could I advise my clients to do something that I have no data on? So.
Yeah, tricky. Yeah, we're always keen to get the data.
Always keen to get the data. Hey, in the one thing that I saw in The Economist this week, I'm going to read this to you. This is one of their predictions. You tell me what you think about it. For years, Nigel Farage has outflanked the Tories from the right, but they have now embraced some of his policies. What if Nigel Farage became leader of the Conservative Party? It might go like this. Ahead of the election in 2024, the Prime Minister Rishi Sunak agrees that, in exchange for not running candidates for the Reform UK Party in Tory-held seats, Mr. Farage can run as a Tory in a safe seat. The party is defeated by Labour and, in disarray, makes him leader, splitting it permanently between moderates and radicals.
Wow. Hasn't he got to win I'm a Celebrity first?
Is he in the
Yeah.
jungle?
Not that I follow it, honest. I found out when I got back from Spain that he was Yeah, don't know. I mean the Tories have become more centre over the years, right? Whereas he goes back the way they used to be. Who knows? Are they That sort of stuff, it depends who's supporting him internally, right?
Yeah. Does he have any housing policy? I could not. I don't know where he stands on housing, but it was just so out there when I read it. I was like, okay, well, thanks, The Economist. That sounds great.
One thing I do know about him, having sort of come across a bit of his stuff recently, he is very pro-business and individuals taking control of their own wealth. So you know, the attacks on landlords over the last however many years, I imagine that a lot of that would get reversed in the very unlikely scenario that he became our prime minister.
I mean, worse could happen. You might get a Donald Trump president who's in jail. Doubt that. I doubt that. I really hope that's not the case. But we'll see. Anything else you think is going to happen 2024?
AI is going to become even more prominent in day-to-day life and business. That is an absolute given.
Yeah, I quite like it.
I know, same here. Is it? But I think, like a lot of the stuff I read, it's going to be a bit of a split between the people who know how to use it and how to profit from it and help themselves with it, and those who don't. And the ones who don't could get left behind quite quickly.
And this terrifying nature of everybody saying that My job's going to get wiped out by AI. I don't believe that, but you, because AI has a pattern of thinking and it always goes off patterns. If you look outside of the pattern and you see a different solution, that's where you start to add something that's not been seen before. And I'm quite intrigued by that. I don't know. Maybe I don't, I'm not thinking about it right, but that's, I see it as pushing us forward to be better and do better things than I do taking us backwards.
Yeah, always. I think it's Andrew Craig, the guy who wrote How to Own the World. He always says, if you're going to invest back human progress, you
Yeah.
know, and that does seem like it would be progressing humans, right?
Yeah, I like to be optimistic about it. I don't, I can see why it would get bad. And I can understand that there's biases in AI, and that comes very much from the people who create AI and then what people are feeding into it. There's pros and cons. I'm also always aware that regulation could make things better, but it could make things worse. So I'm embracing it. It's here. We've got used to it. What are you going to do? Put it back in a box and never use it? Well, if you make it illegal, you can't tell people can't use it. They're going to use it more.
Bit like that fad, the internet, you know. That never led to anything, did it?
No, don't know about the internet, actually.
But yeah, I think that was the last one for me.
Yeah. But from my point of view, I can't see until we go through the general election cycle anything crazy happening because the government's not going to want anything crazy to happen. They're going to put some stability on it, tell everybody how good they are, how things have happened in their way, and hope for some votes. And in terms of tenant take up, I thought this year we might see a slowdown in tenant take up. I've not seen that actually play out. So I wouldn't want people to be listening to the news and think retail's dead or offices are dead. It's about using your building differently. So, for example, if you know that you're in an area, for example, London, people only tend to work in London Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right? So, what are you doing with your building on a Monday or Friday? How do you make money out of it on those days? If people aren't using it to work, how can you use it for recreation? I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of that. And potentially allowing tenants to sublet so that people could come in and use their spaces on Mondays and Fridays or the weekends. I don't necessarily think we're going to lose out. I don't think rents are going to increase, so I'm not banking on that. But at the same time, people are so imaginative with how they run their businesses. And I like to think that innovation is something that's keeping the businesses that are still alive going. And so if that's the case, I don't think take up will slow down. I just think we need to look at it in a different way. And
Yeah,
anything
couldn't agree
goes. I'm not
more.
telling you that there's a certain way, it's just anything goes at the moment. If you can make something work and think outside the box, go for it.
Yeah, sort of that adapt and thrive, isn't it? Like the people, I think we mentioned it earlier, like the smart cookies who are seeing the opportunity will see the opportunity in anything.
Right. Yeah. I agree. I agree. Well, let's see. I mean, here we go, 2024, right the way around the corner. If you are listening to this and you think, oh, I've got a take on what I think is going to happen in 2024, please email us. Email me, Natasha at ncrealestate.co.uk. We want to hear. We love a good prediction. We don't ever take anything way too seriously, mainly because we know that we don't know what's going to happen next. But again, let us know what you think. All
We
right,
could then
everybody.
this time next year see who got the who came up with the best one.
Oh yeah, that would be really good. Yeah, do get in contact with us and let us know. Also remember, we haven't just given you any advice. We've given you what we think might happen. It is not set in stone. It is definitely not true until it happens. So don't go investing based upon what we've just said. Stuff to think about. Stuff to think about. Thanks, dude. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Natasha. Yeah, that was a good one. Enjoyed that.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you've loved this pod, make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And And make sure to leave a 5-star review, as this makes me so happy and it helps to boost the show and get it out there to more property investors. Finally, if you want to email the pod, you can write to me, Natasha@ncrealestate.co.uk. I cannot wait to catch up with you again soon.